Good morning. Happy Father's Day again. Talking about that a lot. I don't know if it was something that was lost on you, but we had the All Guy band up here today, okay? Which is very appropriate. Everyone's a father. It was great. We are greatly blessed by having folks that really care about leading worship. That's a great gift that we get to enjoy week after week. I don't know about your season of life. Forgive me, family, I'm talking about mine. There's a lot of things going on, and Father's Day just kind of gave me this thing to think, these things to think about. It's not just one thing, folks. And I'm sharing this because I'm pretty much guessing that a lot of you, especially you guys, you got things like this that are going on and shooting around in your head too. First of all, you know, I've hit the season in life where my dad's got Alzheimer's. His health is failing, and I don't live there. I'm going to see him tomorrow. My brother and my sister are there today, which I'm grateful for. That's not an easy thing to wrestle with, and I'm just touching on it a little bit. I am so greatly blessed to have a stepmom who loves my dad no matter how much stuff gets dished, and it's not easy. But it's Father's Day, and I'm thinking about what that means. I don't have that many days left where I get a chance to have a real conversation with my dad. My daughter, who's here today, who I love dearly, is moving to Miami on Wednesday. That's a different season in life that kind of comes to collide with the other. She's going to find a job there. She's going to go to graduate school ultimately. But it'll be a new place, a new time for her. But in the meantime, she's not here. She's been here all my life. My son, told you about a week ago, he's going to go to college in Mississippi. He won't be here either. Now, listen. I'm not unhappy about these things. I'm not sad about these things. It's that it's just something to deal with. And then you add to it all the other stuff that's crazy that's going on in the world. And there's a lot of things to be ruminating about as a father. You see where I'm going with this? So it's been kind of an unsettled time. It's not that I'm sad, not that I'm unhappy, not that I'm worried or that I'm fearful. It's just I ain't been there before, and it's a new place. So I've been asking myself this question a lot as I think about all these things and all these seasons. Have I prepared Abby and Luke for what they're about to face? Because they're stepping out. Have I given them the resources to deal with the culture and the resources to trust God? Because as a father, that's been put on me. It's what God expects me to do. And these are difficult and tumultuous times that we live in. Has there ever been a time like this? Has there ever been a time like this? I'm going to ask the question again. Has there ever been a time like this? Be careful. I'll tell you a story. There was a guy named Methuselah, lived longer than anybody that's ever lived that we know of. In the Bible it says he lived beyond 900 years. He had a son named Lamech. Lamech lived most of Methuselah's life, what it looks like if you look at all the numbers, and someday I'll let you go figure out the numbers. I did this last week because I like to know what I'm talking about. You know, Methuselah 900 plus, Lamech, 500, 600, 700 plus. And then you got Lamech having a son named Noah. Noah lived 600 years before a rather significant event happened. But what we need to realize is that right before this significant stuff started happening, Lamech dies and then Methuselah dies. Looks like Lamech preceded his daddy by a little bit. But it was not long after that to where Noah got a very unsettling interview. And so what I want to talk to you about today is what this story about this guy, Noah, says to us about being a father for difficult times, because it was not standard operating procedure that Noah got to deal with. In fact, he got the reset button thrown on him. God determines to act in a very distinct way because things were not going well And so what I want to show you for just a minute, you know me and my penchant for clips, okay? If you've never watched a clip of a movie in church, you're about to get it. And this is one of the fun ones. So let's look at somewhat of a modern day interpretation of what this thing went like when God began to tell Noah what he was about to do.
So you're really him, aren't you?
You want more proof? I haven't done the pillar of salt thing in a while.
That's all right. I believe you. I don't understand why you chose me.
You want to change the world, son. So do I.
What? Why an ark? I mean, that's like flood territory. You wouldn't do that again. You wouldn't do that. Would you do that?
Let's just say that whatever I do because I love you.
Well, then you have to understand that this whole building an ark thing is really not part of my plans here. I need to settle into my house. I need to make a good impression at work. What?
Your plans.
What are you talking? We're talking about an ark, right? I mean, an ark? An ark is huge. I don't even know where I would begin.
Well, I hear that a lot. People want to change the world, don't know how to begin. You want to know how to change the world, son? One act of random kindness at a time.
Build the ark.
I'll tell you what. You build it, I'll fill it.
And if anybody asks, tell them flood's coming. Oh, and you might need this.
Okay, so what do? I grab the wood and then... Oh, okay. You know, that's just cruel. Do you see him? I don't see him.
Building an ark the old-fashioned way. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He lives in all things and has over 6,700,000,000 children.
In a couple of minutes, we'll catch back up to the story at another part. But the truth is, Noah was not expecting this, and what God told him was not good news to Noah. Everything is going away. God wasn't happy. Man was sinful. God was going to do away with literally everything on the face of the earth except for what went in that boat. That was quite news for Noah. We think that was funny. I cannot imagine how that conversation went. But let's look and see what the Scripture says. Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 through 14, says, "This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, 'I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood and make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out.'" Now, as we see this part of this story begin here, we see some things about Noah. We see some things about the kind of father that God is picking to endure through these difficult times. So just like we have difficult times, I think the world being corrupt and God deciding it's so bad that we're going to end it all, that's rather serious, don't you? So if I'm going to compare how God looked at that and how I look at what I've got to live in, I think as awful as I may think it may be at times, that looks pretty bad. But that doesn't mean that we don't have to deal with things just like Noah did. So we can learn some things by looking at Noah. So let's look at this for just a second in this passage. First of all, Noah had a relationship with God. The father for difficult times is a man who's going to help his kids grow up prepared for difficult times because they have a relationship with God. First thing. Secondly, Noah talked to God. Noah listened to God. So the father that's going to help his family through difficult times is going to know how to have that relationship and know how to listen. Listen for God's voice and see what God's doing. Third, Noah was a man of integrity. Everybody knew he was a righteous man. No one questioned how he did his business. They didn't question how he dealt with people. They didn't question how he cared about his family. This was a man who did not have anything but a spotless integrity. So fathers who know how to get their kids prepared for times like he was about to face, and parents, fathers in this case, who know how to do that today, it's the same thing. The same preparation. That preparation is being a person who is impeccable in their hearts. Now listen, that's not to say that any one of us dads is perfect. We're being honest, we're broke. Okay, we're not perfect. Noah wasn't either. We're going to find that out in the story in a couple of minutes. He had his failures too. But the reality is, whenever people look, they need to see, our children need to see, that we're sincere, that we're honest, that we have integrity. Fourth, Noah was an advocate for living God's way. I want to take a sidestep here. If you were to look in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, there's a little bit of a description about Noah. He's a part of a list of people that had pleased God. And there in 2 Peter it says that not only was Noah a righteous man, it says that he was a preacher of righteousness. Now that may mean that he spoke to people and he was an advocate for being right and being good and doing things God's way. Or it means when they saw his life, it spoke so loudly they knew exactly what they needed to understand. I would say it's probably both. But certainly, he was a man who was seen as an advocate and an ambassador for goodness and godliness. So, let's jump back in and see something of what we need to look at next. Here we go. All the fun starts here. Noah did obey God. John, can you go to the next passage and then I'm going to jump back to the video. 17. So God's still speaking to Noah and he says, I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. That's rather sincere and rather serious. If you don't think about that, we don't face anything like that. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and stored away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Now here's another thing. As you think about it, as God is telling Noah, it's going to rain. If you look in the Bible, there's no record of it ever having rained before. I don't know if you ever checked that out. So this was like the new thing. God was going to do this thing, and it was going to absolutely inundate the world. God can do it. God chose to do it. So let's think about this for just a second. God's going to do this thing. How do you think, as Noah decided he was going to be obedient, he was going to build this boat, how do you think people treated him while he was building this boat? Remember, the world is so problematic right now that God was going to end it. So how do you think all those people were going to react to Noah who was saying, rain's a-coming, and they've never seen it? Next clip, John. Let's see the story a little bit farther.
Ladies and gentlemen, please. Please. Congressman Baxter has a tendency to embrace the theatrical in his support of this bill. Congressman, let me warn you, you are approximately 10 seconds away from committee censure.
Oh, no. Hey, would anyone mind if I close the window?
Oh,
gentlemen, please. These animals are trained. I've seen this circus act before. Congressman, I'm sure St. Francis would be envious. We, however, are not. You have 5 seconds. You march yourself and your little animal troop out of here now, or you will be forcibly removed.
I'm afraid I can't do that, sir.
Congressman?
These animals are not trained.
Congressman!
I think they want me to save them.
Save them? From what, Congressman?
Saving the animals, okay. All right, I can roll with that. That's a good idea.
The flood.
A flood? Rolling out.
The flood. This has been the hottest, driest summer on record, and you say we're going to have a flood. When might we expect this?
September 22nd, midday. That's what I was told.
Might I ask who told you?
Not in front of all those people. Don't say it. Don't say it.
God.
God? You talk to God?
Yes.
And God is talking back?
Yeah, we hung out a little.
Well, time to update the resume.
Congressman, your name is being removed from this bill. Obviously, the stresses of this office have proven too much for you. Please have the congressman removed.
No, please, you don't understand. God commanded me to build an ark. It's going to rain. It's going to be a flood.
Remove him now.
We have to prepare ourselves. I am building a ark.
So what happens when you do what you're supposed to do? When you're honest, when you say, I heard from God, or I'm trying to do what God told me, you're going to get some pushback, aren't you? Noah obeyed God, and fathers who help their kids grow up and be prepared for difficult times obey God, in spite of whatever pushback may come. And that's a tough place to live these days. But it was tougher then, I really believe, for Noah. Not only that, when God told Noah to build the ark, what did Noah do? Did he farm it out? Nope. He went and got to work, didn't he? As far as we know. He built the ark. He and his boys built the ark. Noah was not afraid of getting his hands dirty and just doing what he was supposed to do. Work did not bother Noah. He did what he was supposed to do. He applied himself to that. And that's what dads do who are getting their kids ready for difficult times. They're not afraid of the value of work and of serving other people. And here in this, the last thing I see is that Noah obeyed God, and it didn't matter what that backlash was. And I think it's very well portrayed there in the Evan Almighty movie. So let's move on a little bit. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, that's rather old in our days, the water had dried up from the earth. They were all on the boat. It's the end, stopped raining. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. And by the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it. And then Noah built an altar to the Lord. And taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. Never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. So what do we see here? How do we finish this story? Well, I think it's rather significant that Noah modeled worship and gratitude. He knew who to go to and who to give credit for when God showed up, when God did what he said. And I think we've got to learn that lesson too. That as dads, we're the folks who have got to model worship and model gratitude. And hopefully our kids catch that. And they know that we are willing to serve God and not expect God to serve us. Now the last thing that we see here at the very end, John, go to 24. We look at this last part of this, we see a final point, and this is one that I wanted to make. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. And when he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered inside his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked and told his two brothers outside. Now, the insinuation with this is that he probably didn't handle this the best way, because there's some problems with how all this spins out. But Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it across their shoulders, and then they walked in backward and covered their father's naked body, and their faces were turned the other way so that they would not see their father naked. And when Noah awoke from his wine and found out what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, that's the son of Ham, the lowest of slaves will he be to his brothers." And it goes on. Noah was not perfect. His words had weight. And when he spoke, those words had serious consequences. How do you and I know that? Because the problems that he pronounced with those words about Canaan and all Canaan's children to come is still living and going on right now in the middle of the Middle East. Words matter. And as dads, it's nice to say that we learn lessons, all the good lessons from the good dads, but we also got to learn the lessons that are not so pretty, because they weren't perfect and we aren't either. So, what do you think? What do you think about Noah? What do you think about the times that we live in? Do the lessons that we see in Noah say anything to us about how you make it through and how you help your kids through what we're facing? There's a lot of change, folks. And the reality is, everybody in culture thinks that they're smarter than God. None of us who are sitting here have an answer to everything. But there are many things that we do have answers for, and they're not complicated. And they've been proven for a long time by the Spirit of God. I have never known anybody who loved people, believed in Jesus, and let Him direct their lives, who has ever, on the other end, as they've lived a life of faith, been disappointed. Does that mean that life's easy? Nope. Does that mean they got everything they want? Nope. Does that mean they didn't have trouble? Nope. But we've got to be ready for the times that are coming. So today it's a message for dads, about dads, from a dad. And what's God saying to us about that? What's God saying to you about that? It's very important that we as a family here, and we are family, that we encourage one another, that we help one another, that we bless one another. So what I want to do as we close today is something that we do quite often on Father's Day, but I want to do it, and I hope that it has meaning and importance to you. I want all the dads, first of all, to stand up. Now, the next thing I want is, if you have not had own children, but you have invested in other people's children, but whether it be nephew, niece, neighbor, friend, whatever, I want you to stand up, if you would, please. These are the folks that have got to lead us into the times we face. So what I want you to do is I want you to get around these guys. I want you to put your hand on them. Put an arm on them. We're going to pray. Being a dad's not easy. So we're just going to pray. We're going to ask for strength, direction, and that we can learn the lessons. All right? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You because You have been good to us. And Lord, I'm praying that You would allow us to be a blessing to our families as dads. And that, Lord, we as a congregation, that, Lord, we would be able to strengthen and encourage and keep each other strong and accountable. Lord, I thank You that You give us as gifts to one another. Lord, I pray that You would give us the shalom of God whenever it comes to us as dads and what effect and influence we've had over the kids You've entrusted to us. Lord, I thank You for speaking. Lord, many times You've given us great examples in the Bible, and many times, Lord, You've given us terrible examples in the Bible. Thank You for all of them. And Lord, I thank You for every dad and for the promise and the purpose that You've given to us. Lord, let us be a blessing. Don't let us be so selfish as to just say, bless us, God. Let us be a blessing. Lord, send us out in Jesus' name. And I pray this in Jesus' name.